Our scripture this morning is we continue the story of God on the move, and this time Mary goes on the move, actually. And our scriptures from verses 39 through 45, and then again at 56, will be the New Revised Standard Version of the scripture, and you'll have that on the screen, and it will match what you have on the screen. Mary's song, the Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord," verses 46 through 55, I will be doing kind of a free-form translation from the one I learned back when I was a kid. And if I ever try to read another translation, I tumble all over myself. And so I'm going to read the version that I'll proclaim the version that I know. So let us hear the word of the Lord. In those days, right after the angel's visitation, in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. I hope all of you know how truly excited I get by studying the scriptures. I love to study the scriptures. And I hope that my excitement is obvious. And because right in the middle of a conversation, or I will delay a start of a meeting by sharing what I'm studying, what my upcoming thoughts are for next Sunday. And then I'm always hoping that leads to a discussion. One incident like that took place years ago. It was at the beginning of a Presbyterian women's meeting. And yes, I have always attended Presbyterian women's stuff, proudly. Well, at the beginning of the meeting, I was sharing that I was going to preach the visitation, Elizabeth and Mary, and their coming together. And a delightful little next generation lady, stay-at-home mom, Miss Jerry, said to me, "Well, I have a stupid question." And then asked an absolutely great question, one that I had never considered before. Miss Jerry asked, "I've always wondered, did Mary travel to Elizabeth's house alone? Did Mary go to Elizabeth's house alone? I never considered it." Every commentary I'd ever read in the past said that these verses that Mary gets up and goes and she goes to Elizabeth's house were transitional verses. They really didn't matter because that was just a way for Mary and Elizabeth to get together. And it's what the women say that's most important. So I kind of always blew those verses off. They weren't important. Whether Mary took a donkey, walked, drove a Toyota, took the Greyhound, chartered a plane? I don't know. But I got to tell you, that was a great question. Did and Mary and Elizabeth coming together, how this happened, got me all kinds of fired up. And I hijacked the Presbyterian women's meeting, and we talked it out. Mary's been betrothed to Joseph. Even if the betrothal happened a year before, she's no more than 15 years old. And then if she takes the direct route from Nazareth in Galilee to near Jerusalem in Judea, in the hill country, that's going to be 70 mountain miles. Think of it this way. Is there any single one of us who would let their daughter or granddaughter or friend who's 15 years old, pregnant, walk 60 miles over to Canyon City? And that's only 60 miles. No, we would not. So if there's anybody in Mary's life who cares for her in any way, or cares for her half as much as we care for our children and grandchildren, we can almost be assured she did not take the trip alone. But there are other factors, aren't there? She's an unwed, pregnant girl. Though betrothed, she and Joseph have never even been alone together. And now let's assume, the scriptures don't say this, but let's assume for a few minutes that this is all taking place before the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and explains things. So Mary's folks and Joseph are perplexed, they're angry, they're grieving, they're feeling betrayed. They assume that she's pregnant by nefarious circumstances. They do not like what she did. That's their perspective. They do not like what she did, but they love her. The scriptures are clear. Joseph, the good man, very much cared for Mary. As part of a church family, as a part of any family, we don't always like what each other does. We don't always care for the choices we and others make, but we care for and love each other. The apostle puts it so perfectly. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In other words, I don't think Mary made that trip by herself. She made that trip, those 70 hill miles, mountain miles alone, because she was part of a family that loved her even if. I can just hear the angry, exasperated Joseph say, "Well, if you have to go, I'll go warm up the donkey." Now, why she had to make this trip is another lesson on being part of a family, being part of a church family. Mary immediately ran to tell Elizabeth because she couldn't wait to share the news of God in her life, the good news, the joy in her life with someone who would get it, somebody who would completely understand where she was. I got to share this. We got to share, don't we? When we're watching a movie or somebody says something funny, what's the first thing we do? We turn and look at somebody else and smile. Wow, that's really cool. We have to share it. I bet I get and send a dozen text messages a week with my wife with screenshots of cartoons or funny things we've read or a funny anecdote. We as human beings are compelled to share the important moments in our lives. To be a Christian is to believe that we follow the God of the impossible and we belong to a family of brothers and sisters that we need most in our lives. Because we belong to a family and because we belong to church family, we have someone who can listen to us when we're overwhelmed, when we're sad, and we have someone with whom to share the joy always. Back when Kim was at the Presbyterian School of Christian Education, I was visiting one time, and she took me to a showing that their class had. The class was Arts and Crafts in Ministry. And there was a showing. I still have the swell basket that she made for me in that class. And I cherish the communion set she made. But one of her classmates had something that stopped me cold. And to this day, I think of it whenever I think of Mary and Elizabeth. It was a watercolor, taller than me. And it was Mary and Elizabeth from a modern perspective. Mary was a young girl with all kinds of piercings and tattoos and multicolored hair and not many clothes. Elizabeth was just past middle age, 6 months pregnant, obviously pregnant. She had gray hair, tasteful clothes, makeup and jewelry, and she was business suit chic. And they were embracing, holding on to each other with big, huge, fat grins on their faces. I've never seen anything like it since, and I spent too much time this week trying to Google image that. I barely found images of Mary and Elizabeth looking happy and joyful. That's one of the few. But they were happy and joyful, and I remember that painting so many years later because, first thing, it was striking how different these two women are. This girl and this older woman are. Woman is. And they're holding on to each other so tightly and with such joy. They had compelled to share the good news with each other. They had to share being recipients of the God of the impossible. How blessed we are to have friends, family, by whom all outward appearances we are way different. How blessed we are when those differences don't make a single lick. It just doesn't matter because we have Jesus Christ. Each week, throughout the week, we share our greatest joys, our most heartfelt sorrows with those whom we love. We know Jesus is in our hearts and those with whom we share in this church. Mary and Elizabeth had to come together to affirm their unique experience, to receive and give encouragement and share joy. Being part of a church family is to affirm with each other, just as Mary and Elizabeth did. We are surrounded by people. Think about this. We are surrounded by people whom we can call at 2 o'clock in the morning. We can call each other at 2 o'clock and say, "This just happened. I need somebody to talk to." Or we can call at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, "Hey, guess what Matt just did?" Well, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, no. But we can talk to each other. We can reach out. We can share each other's joys and pains. Now, when Miss Jerry first asked me that stupid question, that Sunday I preached a sermon very similar to what I've said, giving Jerry full citation. So after worship, I'm standing at the door of the church, and one gentleman comes out shaking his head and chuckling to himself and at me. He was a high school English teacher who in the past had corrected my grammar. And he'd have a ball today. In the past, he'd corrected my grammar and even in a stage whisper pointed out my split infinitives during a responsive prayer. So he's chuckling and coming toward me. And I'm wondering, okay, what grammatical faux pas have I committed today? Surprisingly, he said, "You really don't believe she said that, do you?" Said what? "Her song, Mary Says, I Proclaim the Greatness of the Lord." There's no way a girl in high school is going to come up with that on the spur of the moment. Look at the structure and the vocabulary. That had to be an addition to the gospel by a learned, educated man. Now, normally, at the doors of the church, I don't get into a thing with people. But I verbally leapt at him, using bad grammar on purpose. "Yeah, of course she did that. Duh." Because Joseph cared for her so much. Through his hurt and anger, he went dozens of miles with her. Because Elizabeth and the child in her womb leapt for joy when Mary entered. Because they could share joy and love and happiness, fear of being pregnant when they weren't supposed to be. She and Elizabeth could embrace and cry out love for each other. They shared the Lord. And at the same time, they shared the fear. And at the same time, they shared the joy. All those emotions all at once. They had to do this, and Mary had to cry out. Listen to what the unwed mother who's going to be bullied, whose parents are going to give her the stink eye, whose life is going to be hard from now on. Listen to what she says. My soul, my very being, proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit, all that I am, rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on this lowly servant. And from this generation, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. She had no idea what was going to happen. Mary, did you know? No, she didn't. She knew she was going to be gossiped about, bullied and shunned and hurt by thoughtless people, and she still had to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Yep, Mary sang that great song. She claimed her Almighty God, and she knew she wasn't alone. We're in this together. We are in this together. No matter what, we are never alone. Jesus Christ is with us. Amen. Jesus Christ is with us. We have each other to hold on to in joy and in sorrow. Those whom we have loved and supported and gone before us in the kingdom, into the kingdom are with us. And we have the knowledge that believers of every time and place share with us. No matter what comes at us this week, even though there's going to be times I won't like it, and I won't like what other people do, or I won't like what I do, I can proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Thanks to Guy Lord. Thanks to my family. Thanks to my church family. Thanks to the Word of God. And I don't have to be an English major to read and interpret the Bible. Mary shows we can be joyful even when we are hurting because God is always with us. We can always talk to the Lord and Savior. We can be joyful because we share the joyful feast of the people of God. The outward sign of the inward reality. Jesus is here. We share the Lord. We share each other. Because he gives of himself, we can give to each other. We can do more and be more and love more than we could have ever imagined or ever been imagined of us.